Now, in chapter 33, we have another division. This begins a second division, and so we start with a whole new thought. The first nine verses of this is simply an introductory to the second division. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, Son of man, speaking to the children of Israel, children of thy people, and saying to them, When I bring the sword upon the land, and we haven't changed much of the time, but it's still when he brings a sword upon a land, if the people of that land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, that whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. If he hear the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that warneth shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he that is taken away of his iniquity, but his blood will I require of the watchman's hand. So, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Now, notice the time when the sword comes upon the land. Now, this has nothing to do with you or your witnessing. I knew a man one time that was quite upset because he didn't witness to a friend of his, and the friend died unsaved. And he thought that this man's blood was going to be upon his hands. This is not what we're talking about at all. I'm sure if I fail to witness somebody, God's hands is not tied, he'll just send somebody else to witness. But the thought that we have here is an end time, tribulation time condition. And we have two classes here. We have the true prophet and the false prophet. We have the one who tells the truth. They see the sword coming. They sound an alarm. They tell it just like Ezekiel did, just like he's prophesying. And then we have the false prophets, which said, oh, God isn't going to judge us. God isn't going to destroy us. Ezekiel and Jeremiah, they're false prophets, are wrong. Don't listen to them. These will be responsible for their actions. Now, we'll have the same kind of people in the last days. We'll have the false prophet. Even then, Peter tells us about him. And we have false prophets today in the church that are testifying falsely and telling things that are wrong and is not scriptural. So Ezekiel was only a picture of these of last day watchmen. And notice he said in verse 7, therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. Now, this is a true prophet. And I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak the warning to warn the wicked. See, these are wicked prophets that God is telling them to speak the truth. The wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. So the prophets are responsible to tell. The hearers are responsible to pay attention to what's being said. There is a responsibility upon people even in the last days. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgression and our sin be upon us, and we pine away from them, how shall we then live? Now, this is a question that would be given unto Ezekiel. But notice in verse 11, say unto them, this is the way you answer, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't want the wicked to die. He wants them to live. and here's how they can live. Whether of any age or anything else, this principle is still true. But if the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your evil way, for why would you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of Israel, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. Now, here's the truth that's being said here. If a man will continuously live righteous and not fall, he can live. People say, well, if I keep the Ten Commandments, would I be righteous as long as you kept them? But James says if you fail in one point, you've broken them all. So it's impossible to do that. We've been studying in Romans 2, and we've seen the same thought there as we see here. If the righteous man that is righteous by his self-effort fails, then he's going to die. But if the false man doesn't fail, if the false man repents, then he's going to live. And so the old creation must be judged. Sin must be judged regardless of the condition. All right, verse 14. Again, or another time, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die if you turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge and give again that he has robbed and walked in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live and shall not die. And this is God's means, it always has been. God has to have what is right. Sin has to be judged. And even today, it's either judged at the cross or it's going to be judged in people's lives. And man can't be good enough in his own self to stand before God. So the righteous is going to die because they're not righteous enough. But then man as a sinner, if he turns from his sins and yields his life to the Lord, he'll live. Then in verse 17, yet the children of the people shall say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal, or just, or right, or fair. Use any of these. And people say, well, God's way just isn't fair. But it is fair. The righteous must be righteous if he's going to live. And when the righteous turn from his righteousness and quit iniquity, then he's going to die. Verse 18. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, then he shall live. The righteous cannot be righteous without Jesus, without Christ, because it's impossible. So all of these things shows forth death. And that's why they say the way of the Lord is not fair. He'll give us a chance. But he says, O house of Israel, I will judge every man according to his ways. Thank God that our ways is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verses 20 through 29, we have the news of the fall of Jerusalem. And it seemed like it took about a year and a half for the news to come to Ezekiel. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month and the 5th day of that month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. Now this is the last of the smiting. This is when the temple was destroyed, the walls were broken down. Ezekiel had already been taken into captivity. And so they brought this message then to him concerning the complete desolation of Jerusalem. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me, and even before he was escaped, for he that escaped came. Seemed like the Lord knew Ezekiel's feelings. Ezekiel loved Jerusalem. He loved the temple. He loved the things of God. And so God put his hand on him in the evening before the messenger came. And he opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was open, and I was no more dumb. He was must have been really dumb-stricken when he heard of this fall. But God intervened and gave him a word. Verse 23. And the word came unto me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabit those wastelands of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land. But we are many, and the land is given us for inheritance. It should be ours, you see. These are those who stayed in the land, those that weren't taken captivity into Babylon. They stayed in there, and they said, well, we ought to have our inheritance now. This is our land. Moses inherited to us, it was given to Abraham. Then in verse 25, he says, Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, You ate with blood, which is against the law. You lifted up your eyes toward the idols, which was against the law. You shed blood, and you shall possess the land. That's a foolish question now that you tell me. You think that you ought to possess the land when you've turned wholeheartedly from God? Verse 26, you stand upon your sword, you work abomination, and you defile everyone his neighbor's wife, and you say you should possess the land? God will not allow an inheritance of one who is rebelling spiritually. Now that goes for the church as well as this is a principle, as well as anything else. Peter tells us that we have an inheritance laid up in heaven, ready to be revealed in the last day. But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to obtain an inheritance. We may have one provisionally, but people may not obtain one practically if their life isn't in harmony with the Word of God. Verse 27, Say thou thus unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword. And they that are in the open field, will the beast devour them. And they that are at the forts and the caves shall die of pestilence. So no matter where you go, those that stayed in the land, there's going to be destructions on them too. So it's better to go into captivity and be carried away into Babylon than it would be to stay in the land. You're not going to get any inheritance. But I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease. And the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, and none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all the abomination which they have committed. Then we have Ezekiel attention brought. Now we've dealt with those that remain in the land. Now we have those of exile. He was taken into exile. And the people that remained in the land begin to talk about him. Son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee about the walls and the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Now these heard, they came. We read before they gathered unto Ezekiel. They sat down with Ezekiel, and Ezekiel prophesied and told them the truth, but they didn't hear. James 1 tells us to be a hearer of the word, and a doer as well as a hearer of the word. Not just a hearer, but a doer. They weren't doers. And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they still will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart goeth into covetousness. How so this is among people today. They can put on a big show. They can pat you on the back and tell you they love you, but their life doesn't prove it. They might stab you in the back while we're patting you on the back too. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that is a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, and they hear thy words, And oh, they sing the songs of Ezekiel, but they don't do them. Reminds us of the Laodicea in church, doesn't it? In Revelation 3, they didn't have the truth in their life. They fell short of these things. Oh, they could sing the songs nice, but they didn't have it in their heart. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. All right, this finishes chapter 33.